Good morning, family. So Bob and Val can't be here today. Bob worked inventory. He just got done a little bit ago and went home, going to go to bed. He said he was going to watch a little while, I think. And Val had other commitments. So a few weeks ago, I think what they thought of is, let's have Dennis do a Sunday, then they'll really appreciate us when we come back. I think that was the, yeah. And so, so what I'm going to try to talk about, and when I think about what I want to talk about, it's usually what personally I need to hear. So basically you're going to hear me talk to myself, and I hope you guys can get something out of it in the process. What it's going to be kind of a roundabout thing is talking about our relationships. We need to build relationships with people before our testimony will pretty much be valid, because that's, you know, going to the non-believer, if they don't trust us, if our relationship's not good, they just won't pay attention to us. And I also know as Christians how we try to destroy relationships when we fall back and trying to do something we're never meant to do, and that's to be the judge. But I know I do. I can be very judgmental. So this family I'm talking to, I look around. You guys are all believers. You all been washed with the blood of Jesus. You've had many, many years teaching with Larry, Ted, Bob, Val. And it's been very good teaching. So my thought is, what do we need to hear? And it's not like we need to hear it. It's more like doing a biannual. I'm a pilot, and so every 2 years I have to do what's called a biannual to stay current. And it's not to teach me how to fly, but it's to find little areas where I may have drifted, I'm not quite doing something right, and just get tuned back in. Stop me from doing bad habits. We're going to do a video. This video is, I think, both for the saved and the unsaved. And most of you guys have already figured all this out, but I thought this was a really good video. It's and so I was just kind of hoping to challenge you to put some of this stuff in daily practice. And consider when you're introducing someone to Jesus or discussing amongst yourself what our role is as a Christian. So this is Alistair Begg. It's called The Man and the Sinner Cross. And we'll watch that for a second. Oh, you forgot that. Oh. That's okay. Got to turn the projector on. Anyway, the original one that I saw, it was on Facebook, maybe sent it, is a guy's introducing it, and the guy is just covered with tattoos. He's got earrings. You look at him, you'd say, well, that guy, what's he? But anyway, you can tell he's on fire for Jesus, and there, I know at one time I would have judged that guy just by looking at him. And anyway, is it ready? Okay.
Preaching of the cross. Without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You'd never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said, you know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get the supervisor in. So, wait, just a few questions for you. First of all, Are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer. And if I don't preach the gospel to myself all day and every day, then I will find myself beginning to trust myself, trust my experience, which is part of my fallenness as a man. If I take my eyes off the cross, I can then give only lip service to its efficacy, while at the same time living as if my salvation depends upon me. And as soon as you go there, it will lead you either to abject despair or a horrible kind of arrogance. And it is only the cross of Christ that deals both with the dreadful depths of despair and the pretentious arrogance of the pride of man that says, you know, I can figure this out and I'm doing wonderfully well. No, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free for God the just is satisfied to look on Him and pardon me. That's why Luther says most of your Christian life is outside of you in this sense. That we know that we are not saved by good works. We're not saved as a result of our professions. But we're saved as a result of what Christ has achieved.
I hope you guys found that as interesting as I did. I just needed that reminder. If both individually or Christian church, we don't believe what Christ did, not anything we do or require anybody else to do is how we're saved. We'll not only harden our hearts, but we'll also harden the hearts of those we're going to try to introduce Jesus to. You see, the body of Christ, we, as a part of the body of Christ, we are not the moral police of the world. In Matthew 28 verse 19, it says, we are commissioned to bring Christ to the world and to make disciples of all nations. The Bible tells us how we should conduct ourselves. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll spend the rest of our life trying to conduct ourselves like Jesus. Our goal, as pointed out in Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, to become like Christ. This verse in Matthew is so powerful, the verse I'm going to talk about in Matthew, it comes to being the moral, when it comes to being the moral police. Remember, Matthew addressed the Jewish people who were, in their minds, the moral police of the world, doing God's work, making sure everyone followed the law to the smallest detail. Kind of what I kind of like to do. In Matthew 7:3, he says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your eyes when you pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" I'm still trying to find scripture where we are to tell non-believers, get in line with our morals before they can be saved by God, or before God can love them. God loved us while we were still sinners. Oh, by the way, we're still sinners in this earthly body. Never forget that, as you know, when anyone comes to Christ and is saved, God will work the rest of their lives with them on getting us, the same as he does with us, our moral and sin issues resolved. So what am I talking about? Well, first, we need to agree that the Bible is about God, the goodness of God. Everything was made by God for God. The Bible is not about us. The Old Testament shows what sin is, points to the New Testament, the salvation in Christ Jesus. Go back to that video. That was God's plan of salvation. It always was. It always will be. It always will be. So, we are to forgive, not judge. When we decide to judge someone or a group that we think that needs moral correcting, we're telling God he needs our help, that that he could get it wrong. So we just say, "God, stand back and let me be the judge and the jury." In other words, we don't trust God to do the right thing. We say we trust God, but when we judge, we don't love, and we are not trusting God. So I'd say most of us here live a fairly moral lifestyle. We try to do and say the right things. One of the commandments, or one thing he tells us, is love your neighbor as yourself. And I could spend the rest of my life just working on that one. You see, I don't love my neighbors as myself. I'm self-centered. Maybe you are too. It's right there in Scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. I can tell you, I don't love my neighbor as myself. I have people in my life that I just don't like. They've hurt me. They've hurt my family deeply. And I really struggle loving them. In fact, I don't. And I'll just be perfectly honest, I don't. I have forgiven over and over, and I may go to the grave this way. This is something that God works with me on a daily basis. I mean, I'm to the point, I hope these people come to Christ. God may ask me to be the one that does that. I don't know. If so, I hope I can get past myself and do it. So why do we think we should be the judge of people instead of God? People who do things we know are immoral. Well, let's start with Jonah. He wanted to judge the Ninevites. And tell you what, those were some bad people. I mean, yeah, I could, and I know Ted did one time, just went on and on about the different things these people did to other people. And they were not good people. So, looking back, what's at this time, I don't think there's anything probably makes my skin crawl more than pedophiles that harm children. So let's take issues like the homosexual, transgender. It's so easy to get on a soapbox and tell them or other Christians how disgusting their behavior is. The Bible addresses this issue. Something we try to avoid. But do you really think God loves me or you more than my neighbor who is in this lifestyle? I hope not. He loves everyone. And this is usually where I think, thank God I do not get what I deserve. As much as I want to judge this person or their lifestyle, now don't get me wrong, I'm not going to go out and tell someone in this lifestyle I agree with them or I condone it. No, it harms them and it harms others. But they need salvation in Christ just like you and me. God will work with them and show them how harming it is. And he will walk with them for the rest of their lives just like us in our sin issues, however long it takes. He'll never stop loving them. And again, I thank God. So what am I saying? We don't get involved in moral issues? No, I'm not saying that. To live in a peaceful society, we need to have moral standards. Or we live in total chaos. Each of us have callings. We're all different than the person next to us. We can't all be fighting the same issues. We can pick our battles. Some of us will be led to fight the pro-abortion issues. Some of us, on like teaching evolution, which by the way is totally disproved, the homosexual or trans indoctrination issues that are going in many schools. And there are many others. We also have to make judgment calls about our involvement with different peoples in our lives. God gives us discernment that we should listen to. But please do not mix the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ with societal morality issues. So I grew up in a non-denominational, probably be more Baptist leaning than this is how I grew up. And so I know people who would tell you that playing cards, drinking alcohol, dancing, smoking tobacco, watching a movie, having a tattoo, wearing earrings if you're male, having a button on your shirt. There's some people that through scripture it says something about jewelry, so you're not even supposed to have a button on your shirt when you go to church. The list goes on and on. They'll tell you that this stuff is immoral and it'll lead you to hell. Let me tell you what, they're passionate about it. But it doesn't make them correct. So, like I said, I was raised up in that a lot of judgmental. And when I was in my 20s, I was being called to get back into, for a better word, to church or with meeting. And I had a pastor visit me. And we went and sat in his pickup. He come out there and he handed me a beer, which was totally foreign to anything that I thought a pastor should do. And he told me, he said, if you're waiting for yourself to get perfect before you come back to church or before you start having a relationship with Jesus, that'll never happen. Now, there'll be some people tell you that pastor would, they would judge that pastor and me for that. I was searching. I'd had a lot of religious and judgmental upbringing, and I did. I became very religious. But I had this conflict in me, and I knew I didn't measure up. But at that time, I needed grace. I needed someone who'd show me the love of God, not a list of stuff that I had to do. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that some of you, just wait till I'm done with it. But see, there are really no sins worse than others. Okay, some will argue with that sin. But what I'm not talking about, I agree that some sins have more consequences here on earth in our society than others. Just take murder versus not honoring your mother and father. That's why we have laws. The difference between robbing a bank and running a stop sign, rolling through a stop sign, there's different punishments for that. That's part of living in a moral society. Judgment, how do I say this? When we judge, first bringing this into salvation, that we're not to do that. That they're totally different. We don't have different sins like that. So we have the big sin versus the little sin. You take the Ten Commandments. They start with big sins, just, even though I guess it's not the exact order it was in. And we get close to the last few. They're not so much. It helps us to feel better about ourselves. Well, at least we don't do and name this or that. It's a little trick we play so God will maybe love us a little more, or so we can feel like our salvation's a little better because we, with this works we're doing. So let's go way down the list. We'll go through the Ten Commandments. We'll go down, and these are biblical things that God tells us to do or not to do. Here's one of them, gossip. That's a big one that will kill trust and ruin relationships. I remember Larry did a teaching on gossip one time. He said when you're gossiping with somebody, talking about somebody else, you will ruin that relationship and that trust with that person because they know if you gossip about somebody else, you'll probably gossip about them too. Let's take gluttony, whether it's food or excess and whatever, anger, hateful, conceited. Now, I'm sure God will give us a pass on those with a little repentance. I mean, who am I hurting anyway? Go back to the video. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. So if we go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, seem to be doing pretty well. Then they commit the first sin that caused the fall of man. They got kicked out of the garden. So this must have been a pretty big, egregious sin. I mean, it's got to be a top five, right? Get kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They ate a piece of fruit. Now God did command them not to eat from the fruit from that tree, but really, eating a piece of fruit, I don't think any of us have ever ate a piece of fruit and thought how bad of a sin that was. Did God ever tell you, whether directly or through Scripture, to do something or not to do something and you did it? Yeah, you just caused the curse. You just nailed Jesus to the cross. Remember, he forgave all of our sins when he died on the cross. He also died for our sins, every one of them. So, and what does this have to do with relationships? If we're seen as hard-hearted, condemning, judgmental, hypocrites, gossips, the unsaved will not trust us in our testimony. So where do we draw the line between being judgmental and demanding that everyone follow our moral code, or saying everyone's good, we can do whatever we think is right, God is a God of love, how could he hold anybody accountable? It's kind of a question of all times. There is a line there. My thoughts for me, and maybe you, just go to God in prayer to be more like Jesus. Live by the leading of the Holy Spirit, taming of my tongue, allowing God to work through me, not me doing God's work, having God make a change in me, and allowing God to make changes to others. See, we can only change ourselves. We can't change somebody else. So in my humble opinion, we will never lead someone to a life in Christ that is freeing if we don't let God be the judge. We need to live in love, peace, and forgiveness. And our testimony will only be real when we try to model Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give us such a model, that you loved us. You loved everyone. You want all to know you. They want all, everybody to believe in your word that you are the Son of God and you'll have salvation. God, thank you that you never give up on us. You walk with us till the day we're dead, and then rejoice with us being in heaven. Lord, we just love you, we praise you, and we thank you so much, Lord. Amen.